This morning I had the joy of going down to the Cathedral Basilica, where Archbishop Aquila ordained four men to the transitional diaconate for our local church. So I think it's good for all of us to just sometimes be aware of some of the happenings in our local church. And so, God willing, the spring of next year we'll have four more priests for the service to the church. Today was the last time that we're going to sing the Alleluia between now and the Easter Vigil. Now, you probably didn't know that when you were singing it, but that's something interesting to think about, that as we prepare to enter into the season of Lent and into the penitential character of it, the joy is going to be toned down a little bit. But even now, just hearing that, it can build up the anticipation of what it's going to be like for us as a church at that Easter Vigil to have the Alleluia intoned again. I know every year when it gets to Holy Saturday, I get so excited for the Alleluia to return. And the word Alleluia is a Hebrew word that simply means praise the Lord. Okay, so on to our readings. In our first reading, we hear Moses giving a prescription that if a person is to come down with leprosy, they are to be sent outside the camp and to be labeled unclean. Now, to our postmodern ears, that may at first seem a little unjust and not very inclusive. But the reality is that leprosy was a disease that spread very quickly. And so Moses had to control the disease by having the people of Israel have the lepers dwell outside the camp in order that the disease would not spread. But the effect of that was that a member who had leprosy and lived outside the camp was not able to participate in the worship of Israel. They couldn't go to the temple or to the synagogue to worship with their Jewish brothers and sisters. So when Jesus comes along, he comes with a mission of bringing everybody to himself so that they might learn through him how to properly worship God. Jesus is greatly concerned with teaching everyone what worship in spirit and in truth looks like. And so when this man comes before Jesus, it doesn't say that he said, "Heal me, Jesus, I am ill." It says, "If you wish, you can make me clean," which is ritual terminology. The man is manifesting to Jesus his desire to be reintegrated into the worship of the people of Israel. That is the longing of his heart. And Jesus stretches out his hand, touches the leper, and says, "I do will it. Be made clean." But then what does Jesus do? He tells the man to go to the priests and have what Moses prescribed for the healing of a leper be performed by the priest. What is that ritual that is asked by the law of Moses to happen, to be done when a person is healed of leprosy? Well, if you look at Leviticus 14, you'll get the answer. "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall make an examination. Then if the leprous disease is healed in the leper, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two living birds, and a cedar wood and scarlet stuff in hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the living bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet stuff in the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times upon him who is to be cleansed of leprosy, then he shall pronounce him clean. That's a very important prescription. Because what Jesus is saying is that the man now must go to the temple, and these two birds are to be brought forward, and one is to be sacrificed. And the blood of that one bird is to be spread over the living bird. Now, of course, this is a great prefiguration of what Christ does to make us clean. We know that everything in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. It's all a foreshadowing of what Christ is going to come to do for us. And what does Jesus do? His body is broken and killed, and his blood is what cleanses us from our sins. Why? Because our sins keep you and I from worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. And Jesus wants to bring each one of us back into the place of the community of faith to be able to worship with him and with our brothers and sisters. It's so amazing when you start to see what Jesus is really doing in this simple miracle that he performs. Now Jesus continues to reach out his hand and touch each one of us through the sacraments of his church, and through the sacraments to heal us if we come with the disposition of faith. Part of the rite of ordination of a man to the priesthood is that he goes before the bishop and he puts his hands out like this. And the bishop takes the sacred chrism oil and he pours it over the man's hands, covering them and anointing them, so that the priest's hands are now consecrated. Why? Because the priest's hands now are the hands of Jesus Christ. Think about it. The priest uses his hands in the sacrament of baptism to scoop up the water and pour it over you, baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The priest extends his hands over you in the sacrament of confession, absolving you of your sins. The priest holds in his hands the bread and the cup to consecrate the body and blood of Jesus. The priest takes his thumb and anoints the person who is sick or dying with oil in the sacrament of anointing of the sick. So through the sacraments, Jesus continues to reach out and touch us in a very special way through the hands of a priest. And we remember this at every Mass, actually. We recall this. You may not have caught it, but we say, "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands." Right? Referring to the priest's hands that have been consecrated. "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and the glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church." One special event in my own life was the moment after Archbishop Aquila anointed my hands, I went to the credence table where a purificator was waiting, and I took the remaining oil and I rubbed it into the cloth. And the next day, I celebrated my first Mass as a priest. And at the end of the Mass, what I did is a tradition that all newly ordained priests do, was I called my mother up to the front of the church, and I presented her this cloth that had the remaining oil that had been poured on my hands. And I told my mom the tradition, saying, "Mom, when you die, this will be buried with you, so that on the last day, when you are raised from the dead, and you stand before Christ in judgment, and he asks you, 'What did you do to extend my kingdom on earth?' you will take this cloth and hand it to our Lord and say, 'I gave you my son as a priest.'" And of course, my mom was bawling as I was sharing that. But there's something marvelous about what God does through the sacraments, and in a special way through the priesthood. Now, this isn't a plug to say, look how great Father Nick is. You should all really think just more highly of me. I, too, as a priest, have to go to brother priests to have my sins forgiven. I can't, contrary to public opinion, stand in the mirror and give myself absolution. It doesn't work that way. I have to humble myself and confess. If I need anointing of the sick, I too have to call on a brother priest. All of us receive through the hands of the priest the marvelous gift of Jesus continuing to reach out his hands to touch us so that we might be cleansed and the fruits of his cross, the tree of life, can be made manifest in our lives. As we go to the holy altar this evening, we go together, priest and people. I go as your mediator in the person of Christ to the Father. I stand in the place of Jesus and pray the Eucharistic prayer as a prayer addressed to God. That's one reason why I don't look out at all of you when I pray the prayer, because I'm not talking to you. During the dialogue, the priest looks and he says, "The Lord be with you." But as he prays the prayer, he doesn't look at the people because the prayer is addressed to God. And all of us are turned to the Lord in worship. And in that moment, as we start to sing the holy, 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 all of the angels and saints of heaven fill this place. I invite you to close your eyes this evening at the Mass, even for just a moment when we sing that, and to imagine that reality that's really with us, that we know by faith, that this place is filled. Even if on a snow day like today the church feels empty, it's always a packed house as we celebrate the heavenly liturgy. And as Jesus cleanses us of our sins, he brings us to a place of being able to worship the Father in spirit and in truth for the praise and the glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. Praise be Jesus Christ.